Hey, do you hear those footsteps? Yeah, those are your footsteps, because today you've made a decision to change your attitude, to strengthen your beliefs, and to maximize your mindset. So it's time to get ready, grab a backpack, a bottle of water, and you better lace up those hiking boots, because this is the Mindset Mountain Podcast with Eddie Aguilar and Jason J. Boom Ligard, because believe me, it is your time to climb.
Boom, what is up? Jason J. Boom Ligard here with the Mindset Mountain Podcast. This is another one of our interview episodes. And I tell you, when Eddie and I started this podcast, especially when it came to the interview episodes with the amazing guests that we have coming on and have had before, the main goal we always were pushing for to achieve was that with every interview, our guests could come on and with no filter, no holding back, and just completely and freely give of themselves in the most authentic and genuine way. To not worry, to feel like they need to sugarcoat their message or that they need to shy away from certain topics. We wanted them to be in a place of safety and also courage to share the triumphs, you know, the incredible wins. But we wanted them to be able to share the devastation, the times of depression, the times of no hope, so that they can then share how they came out of that. And this interview that we did with Shirley Solis is no exception. And in fact, all three of us, Eddie, myself, and Shirley, we went to places that you're probably not used to on a podcast. So I want you to sit back, eliminate all other distractions, and I want you to really just get ready for an incredible story, an incredible leader in Shirley Solis.
Yeah.
Some point in the show.
He doesn't know it yet, Eddie, but he is Cuban.
We'll get him there.
We'll get him. His transformation. All right, here we go. All right. 3, 2, 1. Boom, what is up, everybody? Jason J. Boom Ligard here. And, of course, this is the Mindset Mountain Podcast. And Eddie and I, we're beyond stoked today. Got a great friend on the line, and this is one powerhouse of a woman. I met her at an event called Ignite last year, and we're making sure to get her on because her story is phenomenal. She's phenomenal in what she's conquered in her own life as far as mindset and what she's doing for other women specifically in this world. So Eddie, I know you're up there in Flag and a little mobile marketing going on here with you up there in Flag. So where are you coming at us from, man?
Oh, definitely. I'm coming from the White Dove Coffee Shop. My internet doesn't get hooked up till Monday. So that's the beauty of working online is you can work from almost anywhere. So excuse the noise if it gets a little loud, but outside of that, I'm looking forward to this episode. And Shirley and I just met just a bit ago, and let's get this bad boy rocking and rolling. And just one thing real quick for our audience, if you didn't know, and Shirley recognizes that Jason is a Cuban trapped in white guy's body. So we are working on that transformation. So this is thanks to Shirley. But anyways, all right, Shirley, here's the magical question. And we asked all our guests this, and we asked them that because that's what this podcast is based off of. And for you in your life, the wins, the struggles that you've been through, how would you define mindset in your personal life, the definition of mindset?
Beautiful. I love that question. But first and foremost, I want to thank you, Eddie and Jason, and of course, everyone that is listening for having me on here. I'm super excited to share about my passions and everything that's on my heart. And hopefully today you're going to be really, really encouraged. So to your question, what is the definition of mindset? And when I think about this, it's such a deep question. And what really immediately comes to mind, it's not like a one-time thing. I feel like for me, mindset is the consistency of continuous self-control, discipline, and motivation towards a long life purpose. So when I think of mindset, if we just blocked it in and thought, well, mindset is just this, then the next moment it's not there anymore. But when I think of it as a continuous flow, then it's like my mindset is always there and it's always occupying the space of excellence in my life. And mindset is just a place of, you know, what I'm thinking at a particular moment. What am I feeling or believing? And, you know, to be honest with you, there's times when I've had negative mindset, even without realizing it. You know, as positive as I can be, sometimes the outward conversation that we have could be positive, but the inner conversation could be negative, and we don't even realize it because it's so deep embedded in our heart. So I've had those negative mindsets, and I've had to, like, sometimes just tell someone, hey, I'm having negative, you know, mindset, and then work through that. But most of the time from an inward, well, actually all the time from an inward point of view, from like an inside of my heart and soul and spirit and body and everything, and then shifting it so that it manifests outwardly. Does that make sense?
Oh, I love it. Yeah. And that what you just said is, which is key, and we haven't heard this, is that having a negative mindset, but not even realizing it. But the beauty of what you just said, though, is getting to a point to where you start recognizing this. And that's what I love to hear. So, Jason, your thoughts?
First thought is, Eddie, we always talk about progress, not perfection. And I realized in that intro, we haven't even said Shirley's full name yet.
Well,
I'm like,
that's
hey.
Because you just, everybody knows me. You know, it's kind of like Tony Robbins. If it's Tony Robbins, you're like, oh, well, my friend Tony, you know.
Yeah.
That's why. You're just calling out my destiny. That's why.
There it is. See, yeah.
You got Cher, Madonna, and you got Shirley.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
so.
Right.
Oh, my God.
What else do you need to know?
I tell you, as Eddie were going through, I'm like, wait a minute. It's like, so, everyone, this is Shirley Solis, and I'm proud to say that I pronounced that correctly. I got my extra bonus points there. Anyways, I love how you said, and it's interesting that you mentioned, like Eddie touched on, the you could have a negative mindset or portions of a negative mindset internally, but externally you're all like, yeah, and doing this, and you're putting out great energy to the world and to your circle, whether it be your clients, whether it be your family, whether it be friends, but internally you're almost like hiding that. You know, because you are struggling, and surely I know, going through part of your story from your website, you know, that was part of what you went through when you had your big transformation. So, I would like to see if you could expand on that process of where internally, like you were literally dying inside every day, but externally, all of your different areas of life, family, business, you know. Whatever it is, like you were doing massive things in all those areas, but you talked about like none of it was connected with a fire of purpose. And you talked about having to, you were completely selfless and not selfish at all. So that's something that's important to Eddie and I, as we've gone through our journey, having that realization. So if you could expand on that, I know it'd really serve the audience big time.
Sure. Absolutely. So just to give people a preface of where I'm coming from and who I am, as far as, you know, the content of where I'm coming from, I live in South Florida and I came from Ecuador when I was just 9 years old, migrated with my mom. She was a single mom, you know, it was just her and my little brother and I. And it was a typical immigrant story where the mom works two jobs and you get home and you've got nobody to take care of you. You know, so things were challenging. But in the midst of that, there was a lot that I learned about working hard, about being diligent, about what family meant, et cetera. There's positive things that you learn and there's negative things that I was lacking, like things that I just didn't have. Obviously, like having my dad around or just being able to have my mom all the time with me. So fast forward 18 years old, I turn 18, start college, and that's when I meet my husband. And, you know, well, he wasn't my husband, but he was, you know, I meet him and we fall in love. We get married right away, like 3 months later, we get married. And we, I think about a year and a half later, we start having children. So, you know, just started having children. And I never had thought about the idea of having children, believe it or not. Like it just started happening and I didn't even know why. I'm just kidding. So started having children. And next thing I knew, I learned about homeschooling and like really got into the mode of all of that and started having more children. Like just really opened my life to the possibility of having a large family. So today we have 6 children. We've been married for 22 years. We live in South Florida. And, you know, the South Florida is like this cultural melting pot of all of these different nationalities from all over the world. So it's pretty fascinating. Well, in the midst of this, what you would think would be the perfect family, I find myself that there were so many things along the line, along my path line, my timeline, that were challenging. You know, first I had 3 children in less than 4 years, more or less. And during that time, I was a mess. Because like one thing for a woman, and I'm not sure for a man, but it's probably the same, but probably more for a woman, it's like it's okay to manage yourself. But when you have to manage yourself and other beings, like other little people that depend on you, it's completely different. So here I was having to manage 3 little kids, all toddlers, babies, infants. And I realized like, wow, I have no control over my time. I don't know how to do laundry. I don't know how to cook. I don't know how to keep meals together. I graduated from college with a, you know, marketing and international business degree. And I don't know what to do with that because I'm home all the time. So I had to learn a big lesson. And the first big lesson for me was what I call is a pillar. It's a pillar of vision, you know, and I had to say, okay, what am I going to do with all this? Like, where do I want to be in 10 years with my family? So, you know, kind of started learning division, visualized what I wanted. But, you know, things didn't get easier until I learned what I call pillar number 2. And pillar number 2 was I realized I had to take control of my own character, right? Does that make sense to you, Jason and Eddie?
Yeah,
right? Well. Like sometimes you want to do Definitely. Things, but it's not that the desire isn't there. It's that you just lack the character to make it happen. Yep. Whether it's persistence, perseverance, dedication, strong work ethics, initiative, right? So I started learning about character, and this whole homeschooling world got me involved with that. So I learned about character and realized, you know, before I teach it to my kids, I had to learn it myself. So I got disciplined because now other people depended on me. And that's the beauty of being a mom or a dad. It's like sometimes if you don't want to change, you better change because there's other immediate people depending on you. So those of you that have kids out there, you know, you're not even doing this for yourself, although you are, but you're doing it because of your kids. So I worked on my character. And then once I, you know, several years of working my character, everything just became smoother and smoother, and I could teach it to my kids and everything was flowing nicely. Well, then I learned that I had to immerse my family in a culture of growth, like constant growth, because if we're not growing, then we're not expanding as individuals in a family setting, right? So that was my pillar number 3, immersion in an atmosphere of growth. So I worked on that for several years and everything looked like it was flowing. We had another child, you know, child number 4. Everything was going great. And then suddenly the biggest, most difficult lesson or pillar came into my life, which was the pillar of emotional health. You know, up until that point, I thought, you know, everything was good in my life. I didn't need anything. Kids were good character. We had good family values. We looked like the perfect family. We traveled in an RV for six months at a time all over the United States, speaking at conferences. Well, then suddenly one day I'm sitting down in my bed and I get this really strange feeling that something's wrong in my marriage. Hmm. Well, just to give you like a synopsis, what ended up happening was I ended up finding out my husband had an addiction to pornography. And, you know, for a woman, that presses on your identity because immediately what you think is, this is my fault. What am I lacking that I'm not giving that is causing him to have this or to go pursue this, right? So it was really difficult, especially because we were the iconic family of, you know, of the family values and all of these conferences that we were speaking at. And we had, by that point, 6 children. Like, you know, who would have thought? Why would this happen? You know, you never think we got along real well, but yet intimately there was something that was broken, but we didn't realize it. So it was that, even though it seems like it was the start of my struggle or whatever in my marriage, what it really was the beginning of my life. That was the death of my previous life, and it was the beginning of my life. And of course, at that moment, I would have never seen it that way. But looking back, I think all of us, when we've had a strong, difficult, challenging, painful moment in our lives, you can look back and say, you know what? That was a time when I began to live. Because you either die and you stay dead, or you begin to live and you pursue the next best thing. And sometimes it didn't feel like the next best thing. Sometimes it felt like, I just want to survive the next day. I just want to survive the next day. But if in your core, you want to become a better person, what the next day holds is just more healing for you. Mm. So that is when I learned my pillar number 4, and it's the pillar of emotional health. And And that was the pursuing of knowing and understanding the emotional aspect of relationships and engaging with one another and deep intimacy, not just with yourself, but with God and with others around you, because everything is relational. So I started to learn more about me. I had to heal my identity of who I was as a woman because it was completely broken. So I had to find the truth in me to be able to come alive. And, you know, if I think of myself as a butterfly, like just come out of the cocoon, if I think of myself as a rose or as a flower of some kind, like just coming out and blossoming in some way, like, you know, portraying a beautiful garden now from all of that. And, you know, fast forward 6 years, Gus and I are still married. We worked it through. It was not easy because we wanted to heal at the core. And, you know, I didn't want to make it work at the beginning, but I think when I worked on myself, I was able to allow for forgiveness and for that grace to come over my life, to understand that he didn't do that to hurt me per se, although he did, but he didn't do it to hurt me. He did it because he was hurting himself. And that was just a way to process that. And I can imagine how hard it had to have been for him to see the effects of what that had to our entire family. You know, had three older boys that were all in close to their, one was a teenager and two were close to being teenagers. So, you know, but again, it was the beginning of our family and the purpose as we see it today of having a family that's strong, united, and our entire purpose as a family became encouraging other families to be thriving no matter what happens in their life.
Boom.
Drop
mic, Eddie. My God. This so far has been the easiest interview we've done, Eddie. We just sit back. What are you thinking, brother? That was power.
I agree, and that's what this is about. It's about our guests. It's about the different perspectives, and I had dealt with something similar to you in a past marriage, but yeah, the thing that hit me the most with what you said is a couple things, and this is a perspective that I like to bring to other people that, you know, I know you don't know much about me, Shirley, but a lot of my studies has dealt with suicide. And what we dealt when something like that takes place, it's you're caught in the moment, you're caught in the hurt, you're caught in the pain, so on and so forth. But one thing you said is that there was an end of one life and the beginning of another.
Yeah.
And if we can get, you're a prime example of getting from one end of the bridge to the other, you know, and crossing those rivers, crossing that water is pretty tough, but you're a prime example of having doing so. And then the second thing that you said, and this is something key for me as being a coach, being a dad, helping talk people out of suicide, so on and so forth, is everything is relational. And when you said that is key. As a baseball coach, when I coach my kids, or I used to be a ski instructor, I would find out what activities the individual has participated in. Do they watch sports? So if I'm teaching somebody to ski and they play basketball, I relate the stance as to playing defense on basketball. Everything is relational, and that's one thing that I love what you said is that there's a tie between everything if you find it and you're open to receive it. So beautiful. I love and thank you for being honest and sharing your story, and I think a lot of us can learn from it.
You're welcome. And and you know, just to share, since you've shared that with the whole suicide, during that moment, the information of what happened with my husband came out sort of in pieces. You know, first it was the pornography and I felt like that hurt a ton, but then a few months later I found out, okay, there had actually been an affair at some point during the marriage. So then the pornography seemed like nothing because this other news came suddenly and hurt so much more. And it was so much deeper. And it was at that moment that there was this huge, 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 overwhelming feeling of taking my life. Hmm. And, you know, at that moment, the pain becomes greater than the feeling of just wanting to live, because you want to get rid of the pain. That's a desire. I just want to get rid of this pain. I don't know how to handle this. And the pit of it was just a deep rejection. You know, looking at my life at that moment, it was almost like I was elevated into my timeline and looking at my life and saying, wow, everything in my life, like my dad leaving my mom, was because of this, you know, because of him having an affair. And then all of these things in my life, just all because there was infidelity or betrayal in some way, and feeling so rejected by God, because I felt like, well, if God is in control of things, then why would he do this to me? You know, mind you, I had a relationship with God, or what I thought was a relationship with God, for like 13 years at that point. And yet feeling like, okay, God turned his back on me, you know, then my dad turned his back on me in some way, then my husband turned his back on me. So all of these quote unquote men in my life turned their back on me. I have no one. And so, you know, I went through that, but I felt like I made one phone call that was the thing that saved me. And I was very honest in that phone call. It was almost surreal. And I said, I want to take my life. And that girl just quietly didn't say, don't do it. You know, she didn't go into panic. She just coached me through it and said, you know, put the knife down. You know, she just walked me through it, sent someone to help me and my aid. And then the next day I was back to myself and said, wow, I need to find out what would lead me to do that. You know, mm-hmm. what would cost me to get to such edge on my life that I'd want to take my life. And I found it. I found it. I got rid of that garbage in my life. And I said, no more. I never want to struggle with taking my life, because this life is amazing. And I'm going to do the best that I can to live it out to the fullest. So anybody can definitely heal from anything that comes your way. But there has to be you just have to take one bit of action. It's like 1 millimeter of action towards the next thing. And that may be the thing that saves you.
Hmm. Wow. Surely.
Yeah. And Jason, if you don't mind, let me interject here. Is because I agree. Then that was in the same boat. That was me. You and I are connected in that way in our marriages, because there was infidelity on the other end.
Wow.
And it was the same thing. And I moved across the country to try and please my wife. I became real submissive to, like, I'll do whatever. And then I felt guilty as well when this all took place. And then I was across the country. I had a friend that I was communicating with. I knew he was going through his struggles. And one morning I got to work early just to get out of the home. And I got a call from my friend's dad, who I knew was struggling, my friend, to let me know that they were taking him off the machine because he had shot himself.
Oh, wow.
And so that was that. For the next week, he was the only person I was calling. So I was the same. I felt alone. I'm like, why'd you leave me? I'd go to grab my phone to go call him. And I'm like, he ain't even going to answer the phone. He's not here anymore. And it was the same thing. And I came close into the act of, right before I almost committed the act, that I heard his voice saying, I just left my daughter behind. Now you're going to leave your two kids behind.
Wow.
Kind of like in a disappointment. And it scared me. But it also saved me. And like you said, the next day it was like, okay. And he was like number 7 or number 8 person in my life that had committed suicide.
Wow.
So by then you would think that there's no way I would have done it, but I almost followed suit, and luckily I didn't. And it was kind of the same thing, was like, okay, now how do I get out of this? It's going to be a journey. It's going to take some time. And I decided to come back to Arizona and get myself better, put myself in an element where I knew I could be strong, I could have support, and I put weight back on. I was down to 155. I got myself back up to around 175, 185, working out, fit, healthy, so on and so forth. So, yeah, those that are going through struggle, if you're in it right now, I mean, here's two proofs right now that just if you can make it one more day, you'll be surprised what happens. So,
absolutely. Yeah. And maybe the people that are listening to this is like, oh, maybe we just want to switch to something more encouraging. But this is encouraging. Because I think if we're real, like, life has to be about real conversations. And if we can move past the, okay, we dealt with this, we can shift the conversation to the amazing things that have happened since then, right? But we specifically have to get real first before I can gain your trust, before I can, you know, tell you, wait, here's how you make it and make all these millions. And, you know, because you hear that part, but I want to know what happened before. And any person that has been successful today had these kind of stories. Every person. I mean, I don't know anyone that hasn't dealt with the reality of choosing to live, because, yeah, we came into this world, but in essence, life is a choice. life becomes a choice when you are faced with the reality of you can take your life and yet you don't. Now you choose to live from that moment on. You're not like just thrown in here and like, okay, we'll figure it out on your own. No, no, now I choose to live. Now I've chosen to be alive every single day because now it's up to me.
Wow.
You said it, and Jason, that's how we connected, you know, because Jason and I shared our stories. Ain't that right?
Yeah, I mean, that's, wow. Shirley, I'm so grateful for you right now. I was grateful, and I'm going to share something in a minute, folks. As far as my deeper connection with Shirley at that event, something that happened because we're talking a lot about healing here and with what Shirley shared and what Eddie's sharing. But yeah, I mean, you know, met Eddie also at an event, and then we hung out in a motel, patio area or whatever till 1 a.m. Yeah. Having a couple beers. And we just shared each of our individual stories. And we literally got goosebumps because our stories were the same, but yet just different expressions.
Wow.
Of overcoming tragedies or guilt or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to share, you guys have been sharing so wholeheartedly, and I know surely you love to live wholeheartedly, but I want to share some and say this publicly. But when I was at that event, Ignite last June, met Shirley for the very first time, and she did call me Cuban. Reason
I
being,
did.
She called me Pitbull because of my karaoke shenanigans at the event.
It was the best.
So that
it was the best. I was like, encore.
Yeah, the
encore.
Most unique compliment I've ever received for my karaoke. So we chatted more throughout that weekend, and at the end of that weekend, there was a moment of prayer, a group prayer in the corner of the room. Nick Unsworth had shared his walk with God and faith, and it kind of threw a lot of people off because it's a internet marketing event. They're like, wait, what are we doing? And he asked, hey, you know, if you're recommitting or coming into God the first time, hey, we're going to have a little prayer here in the corner. So we go and do it. And I was the whole time fine. I was like, cool, you know, I got to get over there. And, you know, feeling that reconnection. And he prays, and then Megan prayed a little bit. And all of a sudden, something started to happen. And you talked about, Shirley, you talked about that feeling left behind by God, you know, and that almost like betrayal. And it wasn't until you said it today that I realized why I had such an emotional overwhelm and spiritual breakthrough that day, is there was still some form of me feeling like I'd been betrayed by the path I had to walk in losing my sister, different challenges. And I remember we get done with the prayer, and you were off to the edge of the group. And I'd already had some breakthroughs earlier that weekend. And I come out of the group, and you're standing there with Brian Johnson. You look at me, and you can see I'm, on the verge. And you just smile, and you laugh. You go, boy, you're just getting everything this weekend, aren't you? And then I lost it. I completely lost it.
Yeah.
You know, the uncontrollable tears of release and joy and whatever. Yeah. And then you hugged me, and then Brian grabbed me. He's like, brother, just let it go. He's like, let it flow. And then actually even after that, folks, Shirley and I, we shared a great moment out in the hallway where Shirley, you know, you put my hand on my shoulder and you just prayed on my vision.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until you described it that, even in the moments of the smallest bits left of you feeling like you've been betrayed by someone, and it could be it could be your husband, your wife, a friend, it could be God. It's there is a moment that is waiting on the other side of that that leads to the transformation. And that's what was part of that for me, is just feeling like, wow, he didn't betray me. He blessed me. And this is just, this is all of it.
Wow.
This is all of it. And it's that's where the gift comes. And that's where all of our visions can stem from. So I had the way you just shared today, all of a sudden took me back to June. And I'm just that's why it got so intense.
Wow.
Yeah. So I want to thank you publicly for being there in that moment and sharing what you have today, because it's brought something back that I needed to obviously hear and say. So.
Yeah. No, that's incredibly powerful. And we're just there, you know. And And, you know, if we go back to the origin of your question and mindset, I remember in the midst of looking at my life and sitting down, you know, just at that moment, you know, when all this was happening, I remember just sitting down and going, okay, you know, what is the purpose of all this? What is the direction at that point? I didn't know that the entire, all of that up to my life had turned into, you know, what it was. I didn't know it was going to turn into my life's mission, mm-hmm. you know, to help families become stronger, to coach moms, to coach dads, to get them to so that every single member of a family can be thriving, even those families that are doing okay, you know, because there's a lot of good people and good families that good parents, but I guarantee it. I mean, I've been through so much that I have a special, you know, unction or something on me where I'm just like, oh yeah, it's this or it's that, or you know, if you're doing okay, well, I can take you to the next level. And I don't say that just because I'm you know, being boastful or anything. I just feel like people have gifts, and because I've been through so much, I've earned a degree, quote unquote, of being able to help so many people and parents per se, you know, whether they're business owners, leaders, entrepreneurs, influencers, mindset people, whatever, coaches, you know, I can help anyone take it to the next level. Because, you know, usually if we are not doing well in family, we cannot enjoy anything else that we have in life. It has, because it starts with family. We were created to be parts of family. And so anyway, what I was saying is when we go back, when I was sitting there, I went back and I said, okay, what's the purpose of all of this? I don't get it. But I heard this small, still voice inside of me that just said, I will prosper you as your soul prospers. Hmm. So when we think of mindset, right? So everything inside of our soul is what determines the mindset that we have, right? It's like, you know, if we have a big pot of coffee, right? And you put a straw into it, what are you going to get? You're going to get coffee, you know, coming out of it, or whatever you start with is what you're going to get after that. So its mindset is almost, we would think that it's where it starts. I would say mindset is maybe the next step. Before that is what is in the, what are the ingredients that you're starting with? And that is your soul. That are, those are the things in your heart, in your emotions. And what you have in there is what's going to help you plug in the right mindset so that then you can take action towards the things that you want in life. So this directive of me, you know, this voice telling me, I will prosper you as your soul prospers. To prosper means I was going to prosper in all areas, but it meant that I first needed to work on the ingredients in my heart. What had been cooking up in there for all of those years? So that's why this conversation is so important and it's so real, because to anyone that wants to have the right mindset, if you try to change the mindset by itself without going into what are the ingredients that are bringing into that mindset, it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. Whereas, hey, go a little bit deeper, you know, allow for this conversation to allow you to wonder wherever you are and have those silent moments with you and, you know, God, self, spirit, and just say, hey, what is causing my mindset? What is preventing me from having the right mindset? So that then you shift that, you get the right ingredients, and then boom, your mindset will be right. And then boom, your actions are going to be right.
Man, dropping
boom,
dropping booms and wisdom.
I don't know.
No, I love. Yeah, I do like how you said that, and that's a key part of what Eddie and I do with our coaching. And you mm-hmm. just you phrase it a different way with, you know, you have to get to the ingredients. You know what's causing the shitty mindset that happens every day.
Exactly.
You know, and that's why Eddie, our first step with our coaching, it's the self-awareness, and that's. It has to start there. It's also probably the most difficult part of the process right from the jump, because you're going to have to, like you said, quiet moments. You have to grab the journal. You have to be having a conversation like this, you know, with a coach like me or Eddie or yourself, and actually really talk, like not surface level, but like we've shared today, all three of us in different ways. It's like you've got to get in there and say, this is the darkest of dark, and I need to shine a light on it, like, now.
Yeah.
And so if you're, you know, okay, great. Well, what is that piece? You know, what is that ingredient? Okay, now we know it's there. So that makes sense why you have this shitty attitude all the time if you have this feeling of betrayal or a feeling of lack of self-worth, whatever it is. So I love how you phrase that, the ingredients, you know, to get the right mix.
That's the cookbook person in me.
There you go.
So
there you go. Eddie, anything you want to throw in on that? Because, boy, she's going deep with this, brother.
Yeah, no, I love this. And one thing I love with what you said is sharing what you heard, the voice you heard, I will prosper you as your soul prospers. Mm-hmm. And that's just diving into yourself, wanting to improve yourself, wanting to become a better person. And it's also just like Jason said, and what you just proved is, and even if we just set the example here, is diving into the nitty gritty, the not so pleasurable, the uncomfortable, because deep down within, if you're unhappy, it's unhappiness because of the uncomfortableness that's in your life that you're choosing to ignore, that you're choosing not to face. You're just hoping to slide under the rug. And that's one thing I found, like with suicide, is that a lot of people that are shouldering the weight, not sharing, not releasing. You know, fortunately for you, you reached out to a friend that helped you shift things in your life. So. But I love what you're saying on all aspects. And now you as a coach, you have a set program. You have a set thing. And I know, and Jason knows, the benefit of a coach or a mentor. What do you feel the benefits of a coach and mentor are as far as you? And one thing I like to say is you need somebody on the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. And what do you feel the benefits of a coach are?
Well, the benefits, okay, so first, again, let me set the content to say there's a lot of coaches out there, but not every coach is qualified to really do a job. So I would say first you have to find a coach that's living the way that you want to live. I mean, sometimes coaches in this world, they almost seem like they're doing you a favor. You know, I've seen this a lot, like, oh, I'm doing you a favor. Like, let me interview you and see if I can work with you. Okay, you know, that's what they get taught. Bull crap. That's what they get taught to do. No. You're hiring the coach. I mean, that's the truth. Somebody hires me. I can choose to say, no, I don't want to work with you. But still, you're paying the coach. So be picky. You know, start looking around. Ask the questions. Like, how's your relationship with, you know, your dad? How's your relationship with your mom? If they haven't talked to their mom for 10 years, that's probably not someone you want to work with. You know, you got to get your act straight. So, you know, those people that are coaches, like, don't try to coach anybody if you're not living and walking the walk. Like, that's just the way it is. Be responsible. So assuming that you've done your homework, you've looked, you need to find someone that you connect with and trust. Because the essence of being real in this world, if you've never had someone that you could trust, like if your dad turned his back on you, if your mom turned his back on you, whatever, you need to be able to trust at least one person. And if you have issues on trust, I can guarantee you, you're going to find at least one person. You may not trust anybody else, but if you can trust at least one person, then that's the way to start. But there needs to be a little bit of, okay, I trust you, and I'm going to take this leap of faith, and I'm going to, you know, but I've done my homework, I've researched people, and then now I'm going to take the leap of faith. You know, at that point, be decisive and go with it. And then once you do that, like, just determine to be real. But why would you need one? Well, here's one thing I love from the audio from Scott Peck, The Road Less Traveled. He says in psychotherapy, he says, nobody needs a coach, right? Everybody can heal themselves. But, and here's the big but, is that although you can heal yourself, everybody listening to this can heal themselves. The truth is 99% of people are not capable of healing yourselves. Well, they're capable. They could. They have the capacity. However, we lack the discipline. We lack the consistency. We lack the perception. We are part of a community. So we need other eyes. See, we can choose to live independently. But the moment we choose to hire a coach is where we say yes to interdependence. We say yes to, okay, I want to choose to live as an independent person, but at the same time, I want to live dependent, you know, in a healthy way. In a community. So the coach becomes part of that community. And the coach gives you the outside perspective. The coach begins to ask the right questions for things that you didn't see before. Because that's what we need for growth and expansion. We need to have outside eyes that are saying, hey, this is what you, you know, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And here's how you could grow, you know? So I think we all need coaches, because we, if we all want to grow and we want to be a part of community and understand that in this world, we're not alone, then allowing and putting ourselves out there, the more coaches that we have, you know, specific, like at first you might start with one coach, but then eventually you'll evolve into, you know, let's say a fitness coach and then a mindset coach and then a business coach. But the more people in your life that are surrounding you, looking out for the best. And I believe it was Matthew Kelly who said in his books, you know, to become the best version of yourself, that's how you make it. That's how you become the best version of yourself.
There it is.
Right?
Oh, man. No, and I love how you're, I like how you even broke it down. Like, you're not just going to have one coach.
You're not.
You know, it depends on the area. Like you said, you might need someone on the spiritual side. You need someone that works with personal development mindset, like Eddie and myself or yourself. It could be, oh, I need a business coach specifically, because maybe like they're rocking it in the gym. They got their nutrition down. The family's awesome. Spiritually, everything, but they've got a block in business. It's like, well, if you've got a block in business, I'm not going to go hire another spiritual coach. You know, it's like it doesn't match and vice versa. Yeah. So I love how you remind people like, hey, there's different pieces of the puzzle. And I like how you always say in your stuff, you know, live wholeheartedly. And that means everything, you know, not just rocking it in business and then having a marriage fall apart. Well, whoop-de-doo.
And that's very common. That is very, very common in the pursuit of, of that money or, I want to be successful. It's very common to leave your spouse to the side to say, you know, I don't need you. I can make it without you. Yeah, sure you could. But, you know, this is the father or the mother of your children. Like, can't we just make it work? Like, can you slow down enough? And this is for me, like I had to learn this, because even after we worked out our marriage, and here I have this vision to create this empire to transform families. Ironically, the thoughts inside my mind were, well, you know, Gus isn't catching up with me. Like he's not getting the vision just quite yet. I could just leave him and take this, you know, make this happen. He's holding me back. But it wasn't that he was holding me back. It's that just I wasn't ready. Yeah. I wasn't ready because part of moving forward means I have to hold on and wait for the ones that are, that depend on me or that, you know, depend on me, meaning like your children. Sometimes we move too fast that we leave them behind. I feel like the entire family unity has to be growing together, not at the same pace, but we all must be growing and the timing has to be right for all things so that you don't get out of balance.
Wow. Love it. Love it.
Woo-hoo!
Man. What a way to start a Saturday morning with an interview like this. Eddie, we're getting close to the end here. Is there any last feedback or like another like final question you'd like to throw at Shirley?
Well, just a quick deal is I love what you said about the coaching, and that's kind of why I wondered, and that's something that me and Jason, I don't think really have asked the, you know, other coaches on here on what they think on coaching, but I love what you just said, the perspectives of, you know, putting in the work yourself first to find that person, where a lot of people are, it's like, you know what, I can post on, you know, I can give you an edited version of my life on this podcast. I can do it on Facebook. I can do it on Instagram and Twitter. But like you said, I did a webinar once on suicide, and I had somebody question me, what's your experience? In my honest opinion, and I wrote down and I go, well, I have no degree. I have nothing on paper, but I've dealt with over 15 suicides, almost committed suicide once, blah, 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 blah. And this person said, all right, that's all I need to know. Because I don't want to listen to somebody that studied being homeless in college, but has never slept on the street. You know, I want to listen to the person that had been in that position. And I love your perspective on that is you're putting it on each individual themselves too, to hold themselves accountable to find the right type of coach. So somebody might like Jason and might not like my style, but that's good. That's a benefit of me and Jason working together, is the two of us can touch different people. Now we got you out here. You know, there might be somebody that might not vibe with me and Jason, but guess what? They might vibe with you and be giving you a call soon. And you got to quit operating under scarcity. There are a lot of people in this world. And all I can say is if you are looking for another coach, definitely look into Shirley. So I'm highly impressed with you, Shirley. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm enjoying life. I have this motto, and it's live life with flavor. You know, being Hispanic, I don't know if you've ever had Hispanic food, which, by the way, is not limited by all the Mexican food you've eaten. There are other flavors, okay? You know, Hispanics are more than just tacos. That's all my right. cookbook, That's not right. just tacos. And, you know, you just, we're so much more that. But so flavors, like when you put that food in your mouth and you taste the seasonings just right and they kind of like, ooh, they sizzle in your mouth and you're bursting with taste, your taste buds are bursting with flavor. It's like, that's how we have to live life. Live life with flavor. And I host online webinars. I do a retreat for women here in my home every 3 to 4 months, intimate, 10 women. You know, it's just, there's all kinds of things that I've been able to do and evolved into, you know, of course I do coaching one-on-one and in group settings, but it's phenomenal. And it all came out of that moment of, you know, out of that season of my life that was dead, but now I'm so alive. So that's the cool thing. I live life with flavor.
Oh, man. I love it.
That's perfect. Yep. That's perfect way to end the vibe of this interview, Shirley. And lastly, of course, we always want to make sure, what is the best way for folks to reach out to you if they want to get that one-on-one coaching, they want to sign up for a retreat, how to get on your list, what are the best ways? Because we want to make sure people can reach out to you.
Absolutely. So my website is Shirley, S-H-I-R-L-E-Y, like Shirley Temple, except my last name is Solis, S-O-L-I-S, ShirleySolis.com. And for those people in Florida specifically, I have it's the same. It's, you know, they're connected, but it's the 305 Mom. So 305mom.com would be like for those people in Florida who want to keep up with me for events in Miami, for local things happening. It's 305mom.com. And then, you know, but everybody else, well, everyone can go to ShirleySolis.com. So it's kind of the 305 Mom. I like people. So when I saw Jason singing it out there and, you know, being on the stage and rocking, I was like, oh, okay, this is my kind of guy. It's like living life with flavor to me is you got to dance, right? You can dance. So I'm a Pitbull fan. And so the 305 Mom was just kind of what clicked, you know, That's he made awesome. The 305 famous. So here, you know, what's 305? Like 305 is culture, it's food, it's dancing. So to be the 305 Mom is a perfect representative of who I am, you know, That's as perfect. What I believe being a mom has to be fun. So Shirley Solis here to serve you. I'm really open, like in terms of my life, if you reach out to me, I'll schedule a call with you, no cost. I'm all about serving and giving you results and outcomes for what you want in life, for sure.
Awesome. Yeah. And folks, one of the best ways to get an initial taste, since we're talking all about flavor, is go watch at ShirleySolis.com. When that comes up, just let that intro, her welcome video, play. And I gotta tell you, Shirley, the first time I saw it, I'm like, yep, that's Shirley. I mean, she's dancing, we got cool grooves, the tunes, and then she breaks it down as to what she's doing, how she's living wholeheartedly. And so just, you know, you will, it's well, you know, that's a great first exposure to what she's all about. And you're going to be smiling. You are going that's to right. be smiling and full of gusto when you're
that's
done.
That's right. So. That's awesome. You guys are great.
Well, with that, that is a wrap for this episode. Reach out to Shirley, guys and gals, for sure. And this has been a wonderful interview, and Shirley, we thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts, especially me, for you being in that moment back at that that event and providing me even more perspective on that particular experience through what you shared today. And Eddie, as always, much love to you, brother, for going so damn deep every time, you know, with what we share here. So with that, folks, this is the Mindset Mountain Podcast, and just realize when you listen to a story like Shirley's today that right now, in this moment, it is your time to climb. And gratitude is the attitude that's going to give your dreams altitude. And the three of us, we're going to be here to help you climb that mountain. With that, we'll see you on the next one. Boom!
Boom!
Hey, what's up, everybody? First off, Eddie and I want to say thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Mindset Mountain Podcast. And if you're not subscribed already, go do that now. And second, if you got value from today's episode, go ahead, leave us a 5-star review. Those reviews help us move up the charts in iTunes faster and faster, and it helps us spread the message to more and more people, which of course is the goal with what we're doing with the show. Number two, maybe you're ready to take another step up the mountain. You want to start shifting your mindset out of struggle into success a bit faster. We got 5 free videos for you. All you got to do is head on over to mindsetmtn.com/shiftvideos. You can grab them today. Last thing, Eddie and I do our absolute best to pump out amazing, heartfelt, raw, real, inspiring content with this show every week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and we do it for free. The only thing we ask of you, if you are listening, is share this episode or whatever episode had the most impact on you. Share it with one person today. Send them a text. Send them an email with the link. Put it up on your Facebook page. Maybe you shoot a video. I don't know, maybe you even share it on your own podcast. But share this show with one person. Because what we hope for is when you do that, they can make the same decision you did. And they'll make the choice that it's their time to climb. Boom! We'll see you on the next one.